All right, class, let's take up where we left off in the last session. I want to start off with Ephesians chapter 2. We talk about Christ as our cornerstone, and we're talking about the apostolic governing that is so important in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, I would like for you to go over these verses to the 22nd. But it makes a profound revelation that I was in ministry many years, did not fully understand what is being said. You combine what be said here with Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And if you look at the last four or five verses in Hebrews chapter 5, you understand why. There's an immaturity in the body of Christ because of a lack of all fivefold ministry gift connected, and that all the office have the apostolic and the prophetic anointing on them, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Somewhere denominationally, traditionally, and religiously, the church got divided in all kind of name: Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, etc., Church of God in Christ. None of those names are the name of the church. The church is the body of Christ. And so we got all these different organizations, all these different ideals, and so we had to come back to the original plan of all of us being God's children. So here in Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Now, just reading that, I didn't have in mind, but just reading that, we have to come from this stranger and foreigner's position from the supernatural and the move of the Spirit, not emotionally per se — there will be some emotion — but being able to rightly divide the word and take the word and rightly divide life for people as we minister to them. Rightly divide our lives and rightly divide the lives of people we're ministering to. So strangers, it's sort of like the church have gotten so far behind in these fivefold ministry gifts that they're operating sort of as strangers and foreigners, even though they got a large number, but 9 out of 10 can't defend themselves. 9 out of 10 can't defend themselves. And so that's so important. "So now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." Notice that: strangers, foreigners, fellow citizens. And that's where we're trying to get to. We want to get into the aspect that we are fellow citizens of the kingdom of God and has the same kingdom right as Jesus in ministry and in power and glory, in revelation, in knowledge and understanding, wisdom, etc. But I like this verse now, verse 19. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers," the apostle said, "and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Verse 19. Now the Holy Spirit just started opening it up to me when I read it clearly. And when we talk about apostolic government, it has to come back in place for us to substantiate our citizenship in the household of God without religious baggage on our back. "And are built upon the fountain." Now verse 20 is shocking if you don't have a revelation of Ephesians 4:11 and 12. You got to have a revelation of what the fivefold ministry gifts are for: the perfecting of the saint, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Then at a 12th verse, and then the 13th down to the 16th verse shows us where the body of Christ should be. She's not there, but that's where she's supposed to be. And so our job is as apostolic believers and apostolic preachers and apostolic pastors and apostolic teachers is to bring the church to this position. Now notice verse 20: "And built upon the foundation of the apostle." What? foundation of the apostle and prophet. What that mean now? That mean on the foundation of their calling as generals in the fivefold ministry gift to pass down to the rest of the fivefold ministry gift the ability to function fully. I know some of hop, you know, I've been a pastor for many years. They'll hop off the bus on this, but yet you can't get to the power hopping off the bus. Listen very carefully. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Foundational anointing, foundational teaching, foundational calling, foundational assignment that God had given them without competition but completing one another. So, and built upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet. So that foundation has not been built. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we cannot, the cornerstone cannot function as he should function without the foundation being built right. In whom all the buildings fitly joined together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. This is so powerful. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, that last statement, the habitation of God through the Spirit, if you're not properly trained in Ephesians 4:12, if you're not properly trained, you can't be that habitation of God. So let's pick back up in dealing with this government here and dealing with this governing apostolic anointing. Invention can't stand with demonstration of the Spirit, power, and the Holy Ghost. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, I told you, was impacted power preaching there in 1 Corinthians 2, and it produced a demonstration of the Spirit and of power and the Holy Ghost. Let me get this again. Invention can't stand with demonstration of the Spirit, power, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, when we begin to function as we should function, there's no organization, no technology, nothing can stand up to the power and the glory that is functioning in the kingdom, the power, and the glory in our life for the master, for God himself. The kind of churches we see being built today will not be able to stand, listen, under the intense pressure of persecution and demonic onslaught. Persecution and demonic onslaught. Now, I have no problem with persecution and demonic onslaught because I know who I serve, and I know the Bible said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I know the Bible said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But you had to be trained properly for that. Now, basically, my training was with Kenneth Hagin in the spirit. When I first saw him, God revealed me to follow him and pay attention to how he moved in the spirit. Rare. You can have a lot of entertainment, a lot of people jumping, but rare for an anointing that moves in the spirit. We must have power and not be on an ego trip. And that's what happens. Satan will take you, you get 2,000 members and 3 cars, and he take you on an ego trip. Don't let that happen to you. Always stay humble, always stay hungry, always seek God's face. God is releasing, listen very carefully, God is releasing his heavenly pattern. Heavenly pattern, say that, for these type of churches to be built. So these churches had to be built on a heavenly pattern, having a ministry like Jesus. He said, the work I do shall you do also, and greater work than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And he gave us the word, he gave us his name, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. But we've got to know how to use all three in cooperation to build the church properly. I don't know if I said this one, but I need to go back to it. We must have power and not be on an ego trip. Now, what Satan will do, you take you on an ego trip. If some type of progress come in your ministry, but you're still not in the full power, he'll take you on an ego trip. But God is releasing his heavenly pattern for these type of churches to be built. The apostolic move is not clear to those who are not receptive to what God is doing today. Now, this is not a new thing about the apostle and the apostolic move and being a pioneer, being a pathfinder, pace setter, they are not new, but to the majority part of the church, they are new. That's why I say you, when you talk about you're an apostle, you got to have a genuine call from God. Now, nobody laying hand on you telling you, I believe you're an apostle. No. You have to hear God's voice yourself. That's the way I came in. And that's the only way I can stand here and use this name and tell you so much about it. So the apostolic move is not clear to those who are not receptive to what God is doing today. You have now, remember this too. There are always an element of immaturity in your life, no matter how mature you have become in the spirit realm. Why? Because the spirit realm is inexhaustible. There's always more. There's always more. So you're always searching, you're always seeking for God to reveal himself more clearly what he wants you to do. So you have never arrived, you're always arriving. There's always more. What that mean? Well, I've been in ministry 52 years, haven't missed a day in studying and playing, spending plenty of time with God in the 52 years, and there's always more. I mean, the more you learn, the more you want, the more you want to go deeper into the spirit realm and begin to enjoy God, enjoy the assignment, enjoy people with their weakness and their strength, because you know you have something for them that can help them come out of anything. So you never arrive. But those who desire to be at the pulse of what God is saying and doing today. Now that's what you got to be. You got to be hungry. Jesus said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. Another thing, class, we must be alert and ready to catch the wave of revival. Don't be so anchored down that when God's trying to take you somewhere else, you can't get up and go. So the statement here, I guess, is so good. Welcome to the world of change. The whole spectrum of the church is about to be changed. Changes of all kinds. Economy, social, cultural, technological, political, religious, are happening at an accelerating rate. Everything changes. But we have the strongest position as men and women of God. Are you following me? Now, for us, the church, to be able to ride these waves, we need to have clear apostolic strategies. Write it down. Apostolic strategy. That's one of the things been missing. That governmental apostolic strategy in the spirit realm that we need, because we've got so many false apostles, so many fake apostles, so many people don't call themselves apostles. They don't even have nothing to show for it. They don't have no anointing. They don't. You don't sense the grace when they say something. A real apostle, when they get around you, you're going to sense the presence of God. Not the man, but the presence of God, because he had that grace on him. So all these different changes being made, for us, the church, to be able to ride these waves, we need to have clear apostolic strategies that will help us have an objective action plan to build for the future. See, pay attention, go over these things. The new pioneer leaders God is remaking and retraining today understand that change is the rule of the game. Now God said, I'm the Lord, I change not. But because of the unending life of God, you cannot, God is so vast we can't fully grasp him. We have to be ready for changes as you go through. I'm changing every day. I never stop changing. I see insights every day. I'm excited about pursuing God because he's so vast. So change is the root of the game. If you're afraid to make a change, you won't know what the crowd think and all that, you're not going to be nowhere. Because here's a statement. You cannot grow if you're not willing to change. You cannot grow. You got to be ready to make the changes. They develop apostolic strategies for his leadership and for his church to be, listen, class, fully released into her potentials in God. fully released in your potential in God. You need to strive for that every day. Now, I know you're going to like this part, and I'm talking about the total man. You're designed to live the advancing life. You're designed. And see, if you live the advancing life, people who connect to you are going to begin to live the advancing life. And one of the first aspects of the advancing life as a Christian, you want to win souls to the kingdom. And then as being leaders, we want to train those souls right in the things of God. So we need, here we go, class. We need apostolic pastors, apostolic teachers, and apostolic believers. You understand that? We need them walking in that governmental anointing. The apostolic, this is a statement you must house and feast on, reveals your potentials in God. So if the apostolic revealed our potentials in God and the apostolic been misplaced and misused and abused, many of us who have great potentials are not even walking in our potential. Because if that anointing is not, he built an apostle and the prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. What do you mean by that? Well, in that apostle and prophet, he put in certain things, government, and foresight that the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist are going to need to have in order to train the people properly. You know, I went over the years pulpit swapping. I traveled all over the world my false jet, just swapping pulpit. And that is not what God wants. I've come to the point now, I think I have 57 churches under me. That's the only place I'm going right now, because I got to deposit that apostolic setting in them. The apostolic provide a cutting edge by releasing their spirit, creativity, and the revelation of God's heavenly blueprint to pave the way and work for them. Spiritual creativity, revelation of God's heavenly blueprint. Now we're back to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I know the Holy Spirit showed me one day, said, it's all congealed in this statement here, where the people of God knows how to be apostolic themselves, know how to use the sword of the Spirit, wear the shield of faith, how to handle such a wish. Now listen to this. You have to embrace apostolic wisdom to build and to bless. If that's so, what we've been doing? Even me myself, I didn't know. I don't know how long I've been walking in this capacity of office, but I know always I begin to be different, begin to separate, begin to say no, like if you walk from a meeting with thousands of people in Madison Square Garden, you preaching, been preaching there for years, and you driving in the back of a car, and the Lord said, it's your last day. It's your last week. I had to go tell my friend, I'm not preaching anymore. If you're on the board of one of the biggest ministry in the world, and the Lord tell you your time up, I had to resign from that board. So a lot of things God was doing, he was cutting out of my life. If I was afraid and wanted to be popular, I wouldn't have obeyed him. I remember one time I was in Brazil, and I felt in my spirit the interpreter wasn't saying what I was saying. So I got rid of him. Come back the next night with a lady, and she was saying exactly what I was saying, and I felt the anointing. The anointing can pick those things up. Because people want you to say what they want you to say. They're scared of the creativity of the spirit. They seek honestly for cooperation with others who are like-minded and who have a kindred spirit. In other words, I'm not wasting my time with a person who do not want to change. I'm not going to do it. They are champions of cooperation and not competition. They welcome a philosophy of biblical understanding, godly cooperation, revelation knowledge, and apostolic wisdom. Let me go over that again. They welcome a philosophy of biblical understanding, godly cooperation, revelation knowledge, and apostolic wisdom. Now you keep that under your belt. So that they can achieve God-given vision that involved the region and the nation. These pioneers, apostolic, will have the ability to adapt to a changing world, the ability to assume responsibility for their own ministry success. How can you, let me give you a secret here. You've heard it before. How can you make sure that your ministry is going to be successful? I'm glad you asked. In Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to all that is written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosper and have good success. This is what God revealed to Joshua when he was taken over for Moses. God also revealed in that first chapter, Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. In other words, you do the same thing Moses told you to do, and I'll be with you. But that's Joshua 1:8, and then Psalm 1:2-3, talking about sanctification, talking about holiness, right living, not running with everybody. You got to be called a bakate le savro mande su nanene mo mande le ba ho kusake e le lobobra seke vrona sheko parantake te kusia eprelende kusete. You got to have to be places that you can't be seen. You got to be places in the spirit that is you and God, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and not afraid to step out from the normal pathway into a pathway where God can anoint you, appoint you, and take care of you where he sends you. That is very important. That's very, very important. If you got a family, surround yourself with your family. Train your family, love your family, and because that's going to be your best friend ministry, because you just can't run with everybody. So Psalm 1:2-3, Joshua 1:8, will give you pioneering ability how to handle this changing world and how to assume the responsibility of your ministry. You have the ability to empower every able member within the church. You are through surviving, you are prevailing. Now, I never survived in ministry. Even when I was broke, had a few members, I was too busy seeking God's face, so I was too busy to see any shortcoming. I just kept building, kept building, kept building, kept building. So I want to say to you today, take it from an apostolic anointing. And I'm saying it to you out of my heart. You are through surviving. You are prevailing. Them two words, surviving, prevailing. You're through surviving. If you stay close to what we're teaching in this class, there's going to be a change of in your leadership paradigm. Number one, the environment and culture in which we are called to minister is rapidly changing. It is in this changing environment that a new dimension of leadership is desperately needed. We're talking about the apostolic. We need that type of leadership. It needs a leadership that cannot be dominated and fashioned by the environment. You've got to be wearing an anointing for that. I mean, you join all these little organizations, these different little groups, and everything. I've had experience. I was reading a book one time. I was listening to a tape one time. And I was driving along, and God said, what are you listening at? I said, oh, I'm trying to. He said, don't you know that's not me? He said, they've brought worldly business in my church. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to totally depend on me and train my people. I got rid of all the material. That happened more than one time. I was reading about some of the men who have some of the greatest miracles in the world, but they had so much family trouble. And so I read about another one. The Lord said, shut that book. And I mean, you'd be amazed some of the names was in there, but I had to shut that book not to follow that pattern. So vessels made and fashioned by God, grace and power. That's what you got to be, a vessel made and fashioned by God's grace and God's power. Now, this statement I'm about to make, I want you to let the Holy Spirit help us with it. These emerging leadership are renewed with kingdom thoughts and pattern. Now, we know the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, all these things will be added. We know the Bible said that the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. We know in the Lord's Prayer, we declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that the kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to God. But he wants us to be elevated in that grace and in that pattern, renewed with kingdom thought pattern. In other words, the kingdom of God suffers violence, the violence take it by force. Nothing can stop the kingdom. When you're operating in a kingdom anointing, you cannot be stopped. And then the Bible revealed that kingdom is within us. I think sometimes we're looking in the sky for God, looking into heaven. No, he's right here. He's on the inside of you. His presence is on the inside of you. Their kingdom concept and value are their source of strength for daily living. So we have kingdom concept and kingdom value above all the tradition, all the religion, all the emotion, all the denomination, all the big boys, all the big girls. We have to look to him. For this reason, they are not manipulated by man. Oh my. Nor they become paralyzed by fear or failure or defeat. Look at this. Look at this statement. Let me close with this statement. Because you're living by kingdom concept and value, and because you're renewed with kingdom thought patterns, for this reason, you're not going to be manipulated by man, nor do they become paralyzed by fear or failure or defeat. That's a story I'll probably tell you in the next section that will help you so much. This type of leadership draws spiritual resources from heaven. You heard it? Live by God's grace. Heard it? Breaking the limitations of their own inadequacies and weaknesses. Now that's a good thing to close on. This type of leadership draws spiritual resources from heaven, live by God's grace, breaking the limitation of their own inadequacies and weaknesses. And you just take Romans 8:26-28, and it'll show you all that be broken down, your infirmity, bring you to the mind of spirit, bring you to the will of God, bring you to the love of God, the calling of God, the purpose of God, and decree no matter what's going on, all things are work together for you, for good for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And God bless you. I'll see you on the next session.